I wonder if Fraser's going to cut this out. Fraser's a knob.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast. Episode number 30.
Fucking hell.
Who would have thunk it?
3-0.
Yeah, I know.
No one who's listened to the last 29.
Some people have been listening. The listenership is up. It's nice and healthy right now. It's not doing too bad. So let's see if we can destroy that in one fell swoop.
Well, you have given me the keys to the Twitter account, so I can completely screw
that. That's right. Everyone's got the key. Yeah, what is it? The keys to the what? Keys to the well, business. I don't know.
It's like Dad's giving me the keys to his car.
Yeah. So yes, I'm Fraser. I'm joined on my left by Dave.
Hello.
On my other left by Neil.
Hello.
You know what I was thinking was that I might go back and just re-upload episode 1 and just put a caveat at the start just to say to people, you know what, welcome to the Seal Podcast episode 1. You might want to just ignore episode 1 and then scoot to some of the later ones.
Is it that bad?
I haven't gone back.
It was a clean episode, as I recall.
We started off clean, yeah. I get that feeling that, you know, it got better, right? It was a little bit more relaxed once we hit.
Since we got rid of the Scotsman.
Well, that helps too, right? We didn't drive them away. Anyway, they could be back at any moment, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
They're always welcome.
They're on a hiatus right now. So things are good. So we didn't do an episode last week. We need to talk to Dave about that. Go ahead, Dave.
What was I doing? I was at a charity event.
Charity?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Good.
Pub quiz and raffle and all that. So
nice. Did you win anything?
I won the quiz. So we won a giant inflatable trophy. And a couple of bottles of wine. And bragging rights. So.
Yeah. Bragging rights are away. That's what it's all about. Yeah, good.
It's with everybody at work. So, I kind of lorded it over them for a bit.
Me and my family won the quiz down the club last week. Monthly quiz. It's pretty hardcore. I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, good.
It was my mum's birthday as well, so it was a nice little birthday present.
Here you go, mum. Here's a quiz victory.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, she was quite excited. So excited, she immediately left.
She made her excuses and got there. Good. I don't think. I'm not sure what else I've got to say. And I don't like to be one of those guys who moans. Like when people say, "How are you?" You know, like I always like to say, "I'm good. I'm great. I'm great." Right? Good friend of mine always taught me just, you know, always say you're great. Right? I'm not sure.
Make sure it doesn't go any further, doesn't it? You don't want to get yourself into a long conversation about how shit everything is.
Yeah, and I just don't want to be one of those people always like moaning or whatever like that. Believe me, if moaning season was open, right, I could moan for anyone, right? Moan and rant all day long. Ranting's not so bad. I'm tired.
I've not been feeling
I'm tired, that. Guys. Okay, let's get it out here. I'm a broken man. I'm in aches and pains. I'm tired. So heart tired. Sake.
It's not a good time to have aches and pains.
I think I've just overdone it on the curling.
Oh.
Like I'm curling like way more than I've ever curled before. My arms are killing me. I'm just knackered all the time. Plus, like even last night, I was so tired and then I had to curl and didn't get home till midnight. I can't do it.
Can't curl like a young man anymore.
I'm trying to curl. I'm trying to curl like a 40-year-old.
That's young for curlers, to be fair.
That's right. What's interesting about curling, actually, if you go, and tell me when you're bored, is that there's like, it seems that there's this sort of period where kids curl, then they curl when they're at school, maybe when they're teenagers and stuff like that. And then there's this massive gap between 20 and 35. Or
that's
like
called, people have a life.
Called alcohol.
Mid-teens, like yeah. I know, it's the same all over the world, right? Mid-teens to about married with kids. There's this massive gap. Of
when you need to find an excuse to get out of the house because everyone's driving you in.
That's right, yeah. So just to get that off my chest anyway, so I'm looking forward to hopefully trying to relax a bit this weekend and catch up on some sleep. You're suffering, Neil, right now?
Yeah, I've had bloody lurgy, and everyone's been looking at me funny because I've been coughing and got a snotty nose and shit. So I think I've just had a cold. But
feeling better now?
I'm a little bit nasal still, a bit snotty still, but otherwise the cough's basically gone. That was the thing that was attracting attention over the last week or so.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, coughs are the worst.
Touch wood. I don't tend to suffer too bad since I've quit smoking.
It's funny isn't it? I used to have a dreadful chest.
I was smoking, I never really got flu or cold or anything like that for very long. I never really had flu, to be honest.
That's because you're pickled.
I think a high alcohol content is a good fucking way to be, Emily.
I think so, yeah. Dave, you're healthy and fit.
I am. Yeah. No problems here. The rest of the household isn't, but you know, there's coughs and colds and school and all that going around. So
just get your fucking ass to work, Dave. All right. get your ass to work, earn the money, and be the provider that you're on this earth for.
Although I was specifically told this weekend to take laptops home just in case we're told not to come back into the office.
Just in case everyone gets the fucking virus over the week.
Well, in our building, we've got 600 people. And if one person gets a confirmed case, they'll just shut the office down.
But you'll still have to work from home.
I'll still have to work from home. So I'll be working. If we don't go into work, if you can't work from home and you can't go into the office, you'll get paid sick leave. You're out of it. No. They'll pay sick for a week and then it'll be statutory. Wow. Which is like 90-odd quid.
Yeah, it's like shit. So, assuming you earn enough to get paid that.
So you're encouraged to take precautions and take yourself home. So
yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. One of the things I heard this week, which just is sticking with me a little bit, was somebody said, my husband, his company's told them now all non-essential travel is being stopped. And I sort of sat there and I was like, if you ran a company, why would you have people doing non-essential travel? Like every travel should be essential if you're like, you know,
especially in this day and age.
Yeah, or do you want to just set fire to your money? Right?
I heard a fucking Discord.
Yeah, you said it. Yeah, get Craig in there as well. He can record it all for you.
Yeah, Craig is recording all of these conversations for training purposes, obviously.
Yeah. Essential travel for work. Never heard such a ludicrous thing.
No, you can do video calls on this as well. Nothing can stop you doing that. So.
Well, I mean, what could be around the corner for us boys, right? You know what? We're up the heady heights of episode 30.
Yeah, it could be live streaming it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I know, right? And next thing we know, we got like all sorts of graphics and stuff like that, and calls dropping out, and things not working.
Patrons.
Don't overload it.
And bits. Yep. Is that what they do on Twitch?
Co-fi. Yeah, you're degrading yourself, asking your listeners for a Patreon.
Yeah. Doing little dance. Really?
I can't believe anyone would do such a thing.
No, yeah. I mean, you'd be bod. Oh God, talk about talk about belittling yourself.
Neil, you'll have to get your push-up bra on and.
Oh what?
Come on, Chesty LaRue.
So it's pretty disappointing chest.
I don't know. Times are tough.
Yeah, I'll be doing the makeup tutorial while we're talking. This is how you blend.
We get into the just chatting section on Twitch.
Oh, the world is our oyster.
I know. We could do all of that all in one. I don't think there's any.
I'm not sure we could do any of that. To be fair.
That's funny. I was thinking there's been a couple of times this week, pretty much every night this week, which might actually explain why I'm super tired. But I've been going to bed. I've been going to bed at night and doing some major thinking, right? And
it's not the best time to be doing thinking.
My brain wouldn't shut off. It's the format of the show. I don't know what. I was just thinking, is the format all right? I feel like the last episode we really did. I mean, I think it was about three quarters of the episode before we even got talking about games. Not that that's a problem. Now, is it a problem? I don't know. Yeah, it's not a problem. I need a note.
The less we talk about games, the better, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true. You're probably right. I don't know. I was just thinking about whether you guys, you know, if you're happy with the format, whether there's anything to change. I don't know. I'm just giving it some thought. I'm always open for, like, making some changes and see what works and what doesn't. I don't know.
Okay. You could put the news at the beginning so you're not really fucking, you can't really be arsed by the time we get to
it. So we don't fuck it off every week like we do. All right, well, we won't change the format for now. Let's just get cracking then and go into the intro. We'll do you know what, let's do intros first before we do listener mail.
Right.
So you guys are okay, hang on a sec. Let's say we made a pact, didn't we?
Well, that's not gone well though.
Has it not? Oh, Dave.
One of us is
yeah, sorry, I'm
yeah, we made a pact to watch Uncut Gems, which I was just, I don't know how, I just sort of by accident started listening to the episode last week. And it was right at the point. Otherwise, I wouldn't have remembered. So that's why I watched it. But, okay, well, we won't talk about Uncut Gems then.
Right.
Are we going full spoilers when we do talk about this?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I encourage our listeners to go watch it too. I really enjoy it. Did I really enjoy it? It's one of those things.
It's a strange watch. It's compelling.
It's definitely worth a watch, though, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Okay. And we'll put a spoiler up on before we start talking about it next week.
Yeah. All right, go on then, Neil. Crank through.
Right. Better Call Saul's back.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I watched. I watched the first season. I didn't go on with it, but I didn't watch.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
No.
I've heard people say. Well, some people say it's better than Breaking Bad, and
I like it better than Breaking Bad.
Oh, but is that because you've watched Breaking Bad? It's difficult because it's difficult to remove the fact that you've already watched that. So this is all background to Breaking Bad, which is cool.
Don't get me wrong. I liked Breaking Bad, but I thought Breaking Bad wasn't as good as everybody thinks it was. It was good, but I don't think it was good as everybody thinks it was. I think Breaking Bad suffered from one of those things. As it gained momentum, it became, nobody wanted to miss out, and so people were watching it, and I think people just bigged it up far better than it was. It was good.
It's better than Walking Dead. I'm giving it that.
No doubt about that.
Walking Dead's gone far too fucking long.
Yeah, but anyway.
Is it still going?
Oh, it's fucking still going.
Oh, bloody hell.
I heard somebody say the other day about Walking Dead, they watched an episode and went, that's it, I'm never watching it again.
I've been saying that. Well, I haven't been watching it for the last season and a half.
Well, there you go. Well,
this half season and half the last season. And I was just like, for about the two seasons before that, I was like, this is shit every fucking week. I don't know why I'm watching it. I'm fucking depressing. But yeah, that's definitely overstayed its welcome.
Yeah,
no, I liked Breaking Bad and I thought it ended really well.
Yeah, I'll give it that. Yeah, for sure.
But Better Call Saul.
So this is like one of the characters is the main sort of focus of Better Call Saul. Saul Goodman is the lawyer. In Breaking Bad, so I don't remember having a major. It was like he was obviously not the main focus of Breaking Bad, but all of the stuff that was going on in Breaking Bad is like in Better Call Saul, but it's like all leading up to what obviously happened in
okay,
like with all the whole the drug side of it is all happening at the same time, like the characters, the cameos that you're getting in, and they're less than cameos now, like the main parts of the show. His name, Gus from the chicken place, is like a main part of now of Better Call Saul. It's just developed really nicely over the seasons. All right, like that show.
Yeah. Have you watched the whole of the new season then?
I've up to, this is three episodes, is it now? Or two? There was two the first week. Yeah, so I'm definitely, every Tuesday it comes out here, 8 a.m. That's me. Go to work Tuesday morning, come home. Better Call Saul's on the telly when I get home.
Actually, then you might be a season ahead of me because they've just put a new season on Netflix, but that's probably...
Season 5 is the current one.
Oh, I'm a season behind then, so I got to watch season 4 on Netflix, yeah.
But it's a Netflix show. Over here, anyway.
Maybe I'm confused. Okay. But they're releasing it. They didn't release it all in one hit.
No, it's one episode a week at the minute.
Oh, I think that's good. I like that.
Yeah. Well, there was two episodes first week. Came out Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll catch that at some point.
That's quality. That show. Me and Dave have both watched a bit of the next one, F1 Drive to Survive.
Mm.
This has taken a step up, I'd say, from season one.
Yeah.
I've watched six episodes today because that has all hit in one.
What is it, like a fly on the wall documentary?
So like a documentary. They follow, well, I don't know what happened in the first show season. I tend to remember they only really followed one team, didn't they, for the season?
They followed...
It was mainly McLaren, weren't it?
Mainly McLaren, a bit of Haas, a little bit of Racing Point, but they didn't do Mercedes or Ferrari.
Yeah, this time it seems like they've got full access. Pit. Like,
yep.
Cruise, everything. It's been really good. Günther Steiner knows how to fucking swear. I feel like I've missed my vocation in life after hearing him constantly F-bomb for about fucking half an hour solid. I'm like, I can swear just as good as him.
He's not mastered English, but he's mastered English swearing.
Definitely. He's a character. He's pretty funny.
Yeah. But it's a really good. Yeah, there's and it has quite a bit of drama of it and sort of suspense and if you're not
really well, like there's loads of interviews and like they'll ask this like really massively open leading question and like they'll hang on the people's faces and like the faces definitely tell a picture because it's just obviously this is all based on last season, so you know everything that's happened.
Yeah,
but yeah, the faces and I think it's been really good this season 2.
Yeah,
and I'm really up to watch the new season of F1.
Well, my wife doesn't like F1, but she likes the Drive to Survive series because it tells a story and it creates what, you know, for me, what I know the outcome of the stories, but she's watching it without knowing the F1 and everything that goes on there. It's definitely worth a watch, even if you've got a slight interest in that.
Yeah, even if it's not just even for, but if you like a bit of sport, I would say it's definitely worth watching.
Where are you watching that?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
All right, I'll keep an eye open for that. I'll just stick on Netflix then, just because I watched something called American Factory, which is a documentary, and I think it was funded by the Obamas, so they started to put their hand in.
Oh, I think I heard about this.
Yeah, okay. So they're attached to it, and I found that out afterwards, so that wasn't what made me watch it. But it's all about an old GM plant in General Motors plant in Ohio that shut down, and then the Chinese come along and they have a company that manufactures windscreens and glass for vehicles. And they set up a factory in Ohio, and it's the sort of this great factory that's going to bring all the prosperity back to the area. And just it's just a documentary following really both sides, like the Chinese and how they're dealing with the American workers and the American workers, how they're dealing with the way the Chinese work and just how they're butt heads. And it's just fascinating. Right?
Clash really, of cultures.
Yeah, it really is worth a watch. I got to say, it's one of the most interesting things I've watched for a long time, because I found I was watching it, and at one point I was just like, man, these American workers, man, they're so lazy and they have to do this and do that. And then you suddenly go through something, it highlights another couple of episodes or whatever that go on with them trying to set this factory up. And then you change your mind and you're just like, man, those American workers, they're spot on. The Chinese, they're so screwed up. It's really, really interesting.
You know? Okay.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch. So, so that's about it for what I've been watching.
Yeah, I've watched a bit more Picard.
Yeah,
carried on watching that. That's pretty good so far, I'd say.
Yeah, on Amazon.
Yeah,
Amazon Video. I'm up to date with that now. I watched the last one earlier.
Yeah. I haven't watched today's. Yeah, I've been enjoying that quite a lot. I'm not really a Trekkie. I watched Next Generation, but I wasn't obsessed with it, I don't think, like some people.
I found out, was it last week, week before, that Riker, you know, when you say TV's series has jumped the shark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's bombed. It's gone to the absurdity.
Yeah.
There's the opposite with a thing called Riker's beard. Whereas when Riker got a beard, the quality of the writing and the acting in Star Trek massively improved. and it's actually a thing with other TV series when they say
when someone grows a goatee.
Well, no, when they say it's had a Riker's beard moment, is that the quality of the TV program has shot up immensely. Compared to what it was. Yeah.
Still waiting for that in Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I liked Star Trek Generation, but...
I liked it, but I didn't like it. I didn't really watch Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and that sort of stuff, so... But, yeah, Picard's been good.
Yeah.
Right. Remember a few weeks back I said about The Humble Monthly.
Yes.
And I was definitely not going to re up for the next month because I've made that mistake I don't know how many times in the past. I checked it on the 20 something of February and it was like, oh, you've still got 7 days to choose your game. So I was like, oh, don't need to worry about that then. That was on the Friday, but that was last Friday. And Saturday morning I woke up and it was like, oh, thanks for re-subscribing for fucks.
I was proud of that the other day because you said, guess what I've done? And I just stopped. And I was like, I gave it some serious thought and I went, you haven't stopped your monthly bundle, have you?
You guessed it straight away.
Just nailed it in one.
Nailed it in one. Yeah, well, fucking what a dickhead. But guess what I did?
Canceled it now?
I put in a ticket request.
Yeah. Went,
oh, I'm really sorry. I really fucked up. Well, I didn't say fucked up, obviously. I really messed up. I was going to cancel because I wasn't really interested in the games this month and was like really grovelly and everything. And they were like, 3 days it said they would take back to me. I had a couple of emails to say, recognize that they'd received my email. If the problem's resolved, if I could just let them know, I was like, I'm not fucking letting you know that. And then 3 days later, someone contacted me, a human being. It's like, oh, yeah, we've looked at your account. Fine. Okay. We've given you a refund and we paused your subscription. I was like, woohoo!
Nice.
I am the king of refunds at the moment. I've had like three in the last month. So I'm not subscribed to Humble Monthly anymore. And I don't have any of the perks, obviously, that go with that. And the new month has just come out today and I'm a bit like, maybe I should just pause it right now because I'm not too convinced I'm going to be interested in too many of them games.
So are you still having to pause it? You haven't cancelled it?
I haven't cancelled it because you can just put it on pause for a month. But there's no limit to the amount of pauses you can do.
Yeah.
I could just wait till they bring them out and go, nah. And then pause it. So,
but you've got to remember to pause it.
Yeah, before the deadline. Which I know is the 27th of March. March, 10 a.m. PST. It's like ingrained in my brain. Like, I'm fucking not missing it this time.
Set an alarm, set a reminder every 25th.
But yeah, so I may just cancel it now. I don't know. I'll have another couple of think over the next couple of days. But
yeah, well, there's a gold star for a Humble Monthly. For yes, Humble, indeed. Anyway, good for them. Yeah. Well done for their customer service. Yeah. I actually sent them some money this month.
Oh,
I can't stop. It's part of my what we've been playing, but I can't stop playing Slay the Spire.
Well, I did see you suddenly started playing it on Steam the other day. Yeah. I was like, oh, where has he picked that up from?
Yeah, so I got that. It's on one of the bundles right now, so it's the top tier of the bundle, but like I think it's $13. It's just I will get my money's worth out of it, right? I've got my money's worth out of it from Game Pass. I'm still playing it. I've already played it today. I just love it. I just think I've got into the daily challenges where it's just they really change up.
I've not really played it, to be fair, but I did notice today Game Pass have got a new card game on. The Lord of the Rings one is on there now.
Yeah.
So I want to check that out.
Yeah, maybe have a check of that. So,
it's got Slay the Spire at the moment is £19.50. £9.49.
On what?
Steam? On Steam?
Yeah, but on Humble, you can pick it up for probably less than half that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a load of other games.
And a load of other games which I haven't even tried. So
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to start swelling your list like mine. I've still got well over 100 Humble games.
Yeah, I've put them all onto my Steam account, which I probably shouldn't have done, but whatever.
All in one place.
You could give them away for prizes.
Yeah.
We should have another giveaway.
You've got that covered. What's going on with your phone?
My fucking landline. Sunday, I was downloading something. I was like, my Steam downloads roughly 6-point-something megabytes per second every time. And last that week, I'm like, it's only running at 3.5. What's going on there? And I'm like looking around, is something else down on the computer? Is anything, like the Xbox downloading? Is someone watching the telly somewhere else? Blah, blah. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, pretty sure no one's watching the telly or anything. So I was like, oh, that's a bit weird. Checked it again the next day, still doing it. So I was like, oh, that's a bit odd. So I thought, oh, I'm going to phone BT. Picked up my phone, my landline. Hello? Nothing there. No dialing tone. So my phone's fucked, basically. But somehow my broadband's still working. So
that's really funny you say that, because my mum had exactly the same problem.
Yeah.
Just like no dial tone, no nothing. Yeah, really random.
Yeah, but it's still got broadband.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had this before. They had to put a new phone line in, but it's been happening. It's only happened like within the last 5 years that they put a new phone line in. So I don't know what they're going to do this time. But I had a right palaver. Like, I phoned up off my mobile to report a fault. And it's, I don't know if you've ever phoned a company where they're like, you phone through and it's an automated answer. Please, in as few words as possible, please describe the problem you're having. So you're like, I just went, no dial tone.
You're going to completely undo everything you've done with the Humble Month, Humble Bundle customer service.
Right. Well, to be fair, when you actually get through to, they're pretty good. But,
sorry then.
It automated goes through like this thing. I need to do a line test on your phone. Just give me 2 minutes. So I was like, okay. It's obviously a fucking computerized voice, but it's like, wait. I'm still checking the line. And then it goes, okay. I've been unable to find a fault on your lane. Thanks for call. Goodbye. What the fuck? I was like, what the fuck's happened there then? So I was like, fucking left it for a few hours, went and signed in on my account online. It was like, oh, I have apparently reported a fault because it was sitting on there on my account. So 2 days go by, ain't heard nothing. So I had to add my contact details onto my fault because there was nothing there. So Wednesday, I was like, oh, I've given them 48 hours, nothing's happened. I can start a web chat with them online because fucking trying to phone through to someone usually is a bit of a nightmare during the So I had a nice web chat with someone. They were really helpful. Booked an engineer for Friday today. Fine. Don't think much more of it. They're coming between 8 and 1, it says online. Okay. So all morning I've been in. No one fucking turns up, do they? Oh, for fuck's sake. So I have a look on my account again. It says, oh, engineer visit complete. I was like, well, they ain't fucking been here, have they? So then I'm on the web chat again this afternoon with BT. Obviously, I don't know what time of day. It was a morning thing the other day. Got through to someone who appeared to be in this country. They asked me for my name and address. Bang, straight through. Today, can you please provide the name on the account? Okay, that's me. Put my name in. No, that's not the right name. I was like, right, well, it must be my wife then. So I put her name in. No, that's not the right name either. I said to him, I was like, are you messing around with me? Because there's only me and my wife have got a fucking account here. And I'm logged into my fucking account, which you are talking to me. I've given you my account number. And I've given you my name, my wife's name, and apparently not right. I'm like, I was like, well, the only other alternative is still in my wife's maiden name somehow on your account. So I gave my wife's maiden name. No, that's still incorrect. I'm like, well, I haven't got a fucking clue what to do then, because I clearly know all the information. I have given you the correct information. Whatever you've got there is fucking bollocks. So fucking gave him a zero on the feedback, fucked him off, phoned up, got through pretty much straight away, bizarrely. Spoke to a lovely lady, Rasheen, and she was like in the accounts department, says, oh, I've got, she was like, ask me for my address and postcode. Bang, straight in. Yeah, fine. Oh, it says Mrs. L. Isaac. I was like, are you telling me because it said L. Isaac and not Louise Isaac on the fucking thing, he wouldn't let me in? I was like, oh, fuck's sake. So, yeah, she was lovely. And it put me through to someone else. I've got a fucking engineer. I've got a free wife, bloody, because I'm paid for Halo, what they call it now on BT, where if your broadband fucks up, they send you a mobile router.
Okay.
Router!
So it runs off of a SIM card rather than your broadband. If my broadband does go, I've still got a backup. So that's coming tomorrow.
Bongo uses, right, when he lives in near Ireland.
Yeah, so I'm getting one of them tomorrow. And hopefully my broadband will be fixed by next Thursday. Well, my phone line will be fixed by next Thursday. And hopefully everything else works for the rest of the week. I was like, what a fucking bull. But when I get through to the actual human beings, it's just their stupid automated bollocks.
At least you know Rashid cares about you.
Yeah. She was nice.
Bit
and Tony. Tony was good as well. He was good.
Tony, Rashid. Shout out to my main homeboy, Tony.
I don't suppose they're listening. Although he did say he had relatives around where I live. I was like, I'm probably not sure.
Oh, my God. Are you one of these guys who just told me? You're going to be like that in your old age, aren't you? Sir, it's been an hour. I'm really gonna have to let you go now, sir.
Oh, let me
just tell you. My lumbago's playing up.
I get to talk to too many people. Oh, I had a conversation with a customer in Tesco's for about 20 minutes the other day. He was fascinated how everything worked. I'm really feeling quite shit. I'm not really talking to me at the minute, to be fair, but there we go. Yeah.
Bless you. Dave, tell us about your adventures.
So I went for a test ride on a new motorbike last weekend. I had to write it down because I couldn't remember the name of it. It's a KTM 1290 Super Adventure R.
This doesn't sound like a BMW style bike.
No, it's a KTM. yes, yeah.
This doesn't sound like a
It's more of a tourer bike rather than a off-roading tourer.
Right.
But it's beautiful. It's very, very nice. A lot more powerful.
So 1290, is that the engine size? That's pretty chunky.
It's 1300cc. So I was kind of looking at it, and they were going to do me a deal on my bike, and I was like, oh, I don't know, not sure. And I thought, all right, no, I'll just have a think about it. when I looked at the insurance, I was like, no way. $3,500 cheaper than to insure it.
Yeah. Wow.
So I was like, nope.
Right. Is that the bike being particularly dangerous or something?
It was a brand new model. Because every 6 months you get a new license, new number plates, and the one that I was looking at is this year's new bike. And I think the insurance companies haven't quite sort of worked
how much
out
was the bike.
It would have been with chopping in my bike, it would have been an extra 6,500. So altogether, probably like 17.
It's quite expensive for a bike.
Oh yeah, massively expensive for a bike. Yeah,
it's like a car. You could buy an actual car with wheels.
Yes, you could buy a car with wheels. Yeah. but it's not a super sport. Well, it's not a sports bike. So the bike that I was looking at was 166 brake horsepower. It's very nice, but not for me, not yet. I might wait a couple of months. I'll see.
When you're an old man, and they know you're not going to hurt yourself.
I'll have a look. See
I don't think you should wait that long, Dave. Right? I mean, that's a long time to wait.
I'll see if the insurance comes down. Well, the thing is, I don't want my bike to depreciate in value too much.
Mm-hmm. So, you're your wife, you don't have to justify this to me.
This is just in case she listens. we'll see.
And it'll be much safer for you and our dog. We don't go on the bike.
Bella's been on my daughter's been on my bike. Yeah, a few times.
Yeah, good for her.
With you on it, I'm assuming.
With me on it, yeah, going around. Not going down the motorways or anything, but just going around.
Or any dirt tracks.
No, definitely not. But she likes it. So I'll probably be dropping her off to when she goes to secondary school in next year after. I'll be dropping her off because it's on my way to work.
So, on the motorbike?
On the motorbike.
Oh, yeah. Cool, this kid in school then.
Or massively embarrassed. Like, love you.
Listen, I don't suppose you're not like a Honda Goldwing that you're going to be booming out some real dodgy tunes on, are you?
I can tell you something. I'd really like a Honda Goldwing.
That's basically a car on two wheels.
I know, but I'd like... over here, that bike is suited to being over here. It's like why Harleys are so popular, right? Just for all the straight roads and just cruising for miles on end. But I could never buy a Harley. I can't do it. I can't do it.
You haven't got the beard for it.
I haven't got the beard. I just can't buy into that Harley lifestyle. Like, it's just... Like, you can't own a Harley... You know somebody owns a Harley because they tell you, right? They're not on their Harley, here we go. Here it comes. I can feel it. It's welling up inside me now. And then they're not even driving their Harley and they're wearing their Harley Davidson t-shirts and they've probably got a Harley Davidson sticker or maybe even drive the Ford F-150 Harley Davidson version truck, right? Which makes no sense whatsoever. But yeah, it's a thing, right? You want to feel like you have some sort of affiliation with Harley Davidson when you're not on your Harley Davidson, right? Oh, did I tell you I drive a Harley Davidson? Oh, you drive a Harley Davidson too? Yeah, where we're going?
Oh, you drive Harley one. Davidson. You don't ride one.
Oh, I don't know what you do anyway. Anyway. So anyway, for that reason, I'd have to have something else, right? There's plenty of other options, and I do jest. I mean, I'd love to drive a Harley or ride a Harley, but I could never own one. Just for that, I just couldn't do it to myself.
What a big old Triumph?
You know, something like a Triumph Rocket. Yeah, if
you've seen those, they've just released a new one of them, Rocket 3R.
Oh yeah,
it basically looks like a truck engine with two wheels. And just have a look, just after
this. Four-liter engine or something.
it's like 3.6, I think it is.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it does still. I bet it's still well slow though. With engine.
I think it's actually really good.
The Rocket 3R.
Yeah.
Oh my god, look at it. That's ridiculous. Looks like something out of a Mad Max movie. Looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that looks awesome. I want one of those.
I've never had a motorbike.
Is the missus looking at you sternly?
She was just like, no fucking way.
I would be very, very, I miss my motorbike, but I would very, very be scared of having a motorbike here. I don't think it's as safe as it is in England. People are much more.
Are you sure about that? There's fucking less traffic over there, sure.
No, dude. Make no mistake about North American drivers and their ability to just insulate themselves to the outside, were outside of their car, like this.
I don't need to check where
and
I'm
not
going.
Not everyone's like that, Ben. I don't want people sitting there going, you know, we're not all like that. No, they're not all like that. But there are a lot of people who, once they get in their cars over here, they have no idea what's going on around them. It's so bad. Whereas in England, people are super bike aware, like in Europe and the UK, because there's so many bikes and they're on the road constantly. Whereas here, you have massive 6-month gaps where you never see a bike, right? Because it's just.
You don't see much else either, probably.
Snowplows.
Yeah.
Okay, let's crack on. Dave, you've got a couple of other things there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Here we go. Oh, he exhaled some air there.
Right, hang on. Right. Just before recording, I think I was just chatting to Neil. I was like, oh, I'm chatting away. Da, 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 da. Why does my mic look weird on my headset? Because I've got a headset on and a microphone attached to it. I did try a separate mic next to my computer, but you guys have said it's really echoey. So, come back to my mic. It's a really good headset. It's a Sennheiser 363D, 7.1 surround and noise cancelling microphone. And I paid a lot of money for it. About 150 quid, 160 quid, like 6 years ago. When I have something nice, I look after it really well. Mm-hmm. And as I was coming on to record,
because you're an adult, Dave.
Yeah. Why does the mic look weird? It's a slightly odd angle. I took my headset off, and there's a massive crack where somebody's obviously put the headset down and pushed the microphone the wrong way, or they've dropped it.
Somebody else.
So the only other person that uses the headset is my daughter.
Oh,
and I was like, no. I think, I'm not sure if Neil heard the rage in my voice. I was like, I was so angry, but normally very calm and collected guy. And I was like, the thing that I was annoyed with was myself.
Yeah.
Is I let her use my very expensive equipment. So I can't be angry. I am really angry at her, but I can't be angry at her because it's my fault.
It's your fault.
It's my fault. So yeah, I was just looking at new headsets, and it's the ones that I want are still 150 quid. It's like one.
Well, hang on a couple of months, Dave. That's what you should just. If you don't get the bike.
If I don't get a bike, I can afford the headset.
There you go.
So that was one of my things. So I might just stick some gaffer tape around it.
On the plus side, I mean, first of all, have a look into maybe some gluing of the cracked bit or whatever. Maybe some gaffer tape or whatever. But on the plus side, there's content. Your daughter has given us content, right?
Yeah.
And future content too when you replace it.
I'm all around a ring a neck.
We haven't heard from Dave for a while.
next episode.
Can't get hold of him.
Do you accept a call from the prison service?
Do they have Discord in prison?
They have everything else these days, don't they? Like a bloody holiday camp.
But they got phones that work, eh?
More likely.
Broadband, yeah. I might be having a word with her tomorrow about respecting one's fucking headset and not break it. The little time. Other than that, I am doing a 10,000 step challenge at work. Again, they're very competitive at work. So every day that you don't do 10,000 steps, you have to give a couple of quid to charity. So everyone is working the bollocks off.
Giving money to charity?
Yep. Yep, that's the one. We're actively working not to give money to a leukemia charity.
Oh, that sounds bad.
And everybody is... And in total, out of about 15 people, only £2 has been given to the charity so far.
You did all of your good charity work last week.
Yeah. So,
I'm trying to work out. I mean, if it started as a road to fitness and the penalty, the charity benefit, it's the way you word it, right? The charity benefits from your.
I think you need to up that 20,000 steps. Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is when we, because it was a 30-day challenge, like until the end of the month, started on the 1st on the Sunday. And I think what's going to happen is if everyone is always meeting these challenges, because everyone is, well, I can't not say tight bastards, but we like the challenge. So, and everybody's competitive, so they want to hit the target. I think what will happen is 15 days in, they'll up it to 12,000, 13,000.
How about if you do it for a month, you just give 30 quid at the end of the month?
No, but you're not working towards something. You're not like actively not spending money to a charity. But yeah, so I think they'll start ramping that up in the end. But the idea is to get into a positive routine of, you know, going for walks and doing your steps.
Hating charities.
Okay. Okay. So if you're doing your 10,000 steps, say today, did you hit your 10,000 steps today?
I did.
I have some questions. How are you measuring that? You have a Fitbit?
I've got a Samsung. No, I haven't. I've got a Huawei GT2.
Oh man! They're calibrated for Chinese people.
Yeah. I got it free with my phone. So.
I know the Chinese know that you're not just into charity.
So
would you hit your 10,000? I have no idea how far to. I'm not one of these people who worries about any fitness. At the moment, anyway.
I can tell you I don't get 10,000 steps a day very often.
Are you Fitbit, Neil?
I've got a watch that has a counter on it.
Right.
Plus, your phone usually tracks it anyway.
Talk me through what you're doing and where. What point during the day are you hitting the 10,000 steps?
Okay.
I have no idea how much 10,000 steps is.
Okay, so today's quite a good example.
Neil, sit over there.
I've got numbers and figures and stuff for you. So in the morning, before I get to work, I do probably 500 steps. So it's getting up, going to the toilet, blah, 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 doing all that, going out for a fag. So...
essential. I've gone for 15 fags a day now because it gives me an extra 150.
Well, I say fag. I mean vape. So, you know, not as bad as vaping, but you know, it's still my nicotine intake. So
it's definitely not as bad as smoking.
It might kill me, but not as quickly.
Anything explains.
Yeah. So I got to work at 8:30 this morning. I start at 9, so I thought, well, what should I do? I'll walk around the building 3 times. So that was 1,000 steps. Straight out.
Get arrested on the way. We're like, what are you doing?
So that was what's that? 1,500 steps between sort of 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. I got in 1,500, and 1,000 that was just because I was walking around the building trying to get my steps up.
Okay.
I did between 9 and, what's this, 12 o'clock. Hang on. Have a guess of how many steps you think I did in a 3-hour period at work.
Between 9 and 12 when you were sitting at your office?
Yes.
About 2,000.
2,000?
Because it doesn't work.
I can tell you, I've got the thing for it, 12 steps.
Wow, it does actually not work.
Because I literally did, I just sit at my desk. That's all I do. I don't think I went for a week today.
So maybe just going to pick 12 steps where you're going to the printer and back and forth.
I probably just stood up, walked over to speak to somebody, and went back to my desk, and that was it. And that was probably just personal.
I reckon once I did about 18,000 steps just driving to Wales. I was sat in my car.
No, that's cheating. So, because we're doing this step thing, we all said, oh, let's go to the pub. Okay, the pub is a mile away. It is actually a mile away. We checked on Google Maps.
That's a walk. That'll get you 10,000 steps. If you
let's
just
walk. Let's walk to the pub. Mile away. 15 minutes. 2,000 steps. There.
There and 2,000 back. Yeah,
2,000 back. So that was 4,000.
Yeah, you're a bit taller than me.
You got to go to the pub more.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, Neil, yeah. Stay there. I can't believe Neil's not hitting his 10,000.
Thing is, my pub's only 500 steps
up. Yeah. And then at my second sig break, because I was getting annoyed with my work, I walked around the building twice. That was 800 steps. And then I got home, realized I hadn't hit the target, and I walked around the garden for another couple of thousand steps. And I looked like a right weirdo just walking around the garden. And yeah. And that was my day to get 10,000. So I hit 10,000 at what time? 9 o'clock. No? Yeah, just before 9. So I hit 10,000, and then what is it now? Oh, geez. Okay. Last 3-4 hours, I've done 300 steps.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I reckon if I walked to work and back, then I'd easily do 10 feet.
How far is your work from you?
It's not that far. But I've only got little legs.
Interesting.
So, but it's good, and it made me realize how little I actually moved about, because I've been wearing this watch, and to be honest, I haven't been using it for the step count. I've been using it as a watch because, you know, it's a watch. It looks like,
what is it, like a smartwatch type thing?
Yeah. But it's been, I've realized it's actually been counting my steps for the last couple of months, and some days, like just in a normal day where I think I've, you know, not been particularly active, but, you know, just normal day, I do less than 2,000 steps. I'm like, that's really bad. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's really not that much effort to do 10,000. I know I don't do it every day, but if I wanted to do it every day, I could easily walk
into
town,
you could.
Walk
it's
home,
not...
and I'd be like, that's done. Easily,
yeah,
done.
That's not the issue. Yeah, the issue isn't being able to do it. It's the issue just doing it, right?
So yeah,
it's not really not that many.
Yeah. Okay. Well, keep at it, Dave. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck in your endeavor.
And try not to give charity money.
Let's move on then, while we can, to the listener mail. Stuart Cullen gave us a question, as he does so often. Thank you very much, Stuart. He says, with Konami delaying the PC Engine core graphics due to coronavirus manufacturing side, I'm not quite sure what he means by that, but I guess there's a manufacturing issue because of the coronavirus. How long will it be till Sony and Microsoft break cover and do the same? And how big an impact do you feel it would have delaying next gen? Could Stadia capitalize on such a what if event? Could they?
No.
I was sort of giving this some thought. So first of all, let's just address a couple of things here. First of all, anybody who doesn't know, the PC Engine core graphics is another one of these mini consoles. I don't. Are you guys familiar with the PC Engine?
I remember it being a thing, and it was one of those things that was completely unattainable when I was young. Because as expensive as a SNES and a Mega Drive were, PC Engine was like completely on another level.
Was it?
It was like about a grand or something stupid to get a PC Engine, or it's mental.
Yeah, I had a look at this one that's coming out, and
it's a TurboGrafx.
TurboGrafx, yeah. Okay, so right.
Okay.
And so I looked at it and what games it comes with and stuff, and you know,
is it Metal Slug and stuff like that?
Well, it's arcadey type stuff,
King of Fighters, you know, and all that sort
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah, I can't even. I think what were some ones that were on there? Ghouls and Ghosts, or Space Harrier. There are some Bomberman Konami titles,
is, isn't it? So
yeah, there's some Bomberman titles and some New Zealand story type stuff related to Bubble Bobble or whatever. I'm not sure, something like that. So, so on the face of it, I mean, looking at it, I was just like, I'm not interested whatsoever. Old games are old. I mean, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But looking at it from like late 80s, Fraser, it looked like it would have been a great little console to have. You know.
Yeah, I was kind of always one of those things like, you're like, I'm never going to be able to get one of those. They've got all the cool games.
Yeah, so it could have been pretty cool. I could see that. But as something to buy today, I'm not really, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
But with it being delayed on this coronavirus, it's interesting because I talked to a guy who owns a company last week, and he owns a manufacturing company. And I mean, he went into super depth and pretty much lost me. He was way above.
Do they do their manufacturing in China and stuff?
No, well, they do manufacturing in Canada, but, you know, he's got a handle on it, right? And he was saying that he thinks that you know, I can't regurgitate verbatim what he said, because I really got lost in a lot of what he was saying. He started to go into deep economics and things like that, which I didn't understand. But he was saying some things like the Chinese don't have the cash reserves, you know, to handle you know, the order books disappearing for a few weeks or shutting down for a few weeks. And so that knock-on effect where they start to go like dominoes, right? So the supply, a Chinese company unable to supply, not as a knock-on effect to this sort of just-in-time manufacturing or everybody needing stuff, and just sort of, like I say, a domino effect. And he thinks that it could, it's going to kickstart the next recession, right? Mm.
Global recession.
Yeah, global recession.
Because everything. Well, it might be funny. Everyone
joked about everything being made in China for about the last 30 years. So.
Yeah. Well, and then he's also saying like it could be one of those things that suddenly gives impetus for a massive swing to new manufacturing areas, like a lot of manufacturing coming back to North America or to South America or even Africa. It's like
problem is this virus is going everywhere anyways. I don't see China being particularly the way things are going.
Everyone's going to get affected.
Everyone's getting it. It's going everywhere. I don't see moving your manufacturing base. Where are you going to move it to? Fucking Greenland. That's about the only place that ain't getting it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if the China, but if your contract is with China and they can't provide, well, now where do you go, right? Where do you go somewhere else? You can't. I mean, I don't know is the answer from that. Is there a possibility that it could delay Sony and Microsoft? Absolutely, I think. You know, if there's a delay, particularly things,
I think, you know, what
technology based items that are manufactured in China, and almost every component probably is.
Well, South Korea is another big place, isn't it? Samsung and all that—they're all over there.
Right,
that's massively badly affected. But Microsoft apparently have got some business down in South America, so they've got some major manufacturing places down in Brazil and stuff. Like I said, though, I don't see it. It's fucking just going everywhere, isn't it?
I think that there could be impacts on that for sure. I guess we wait and see.
Mm.
His final question: could Stadia capitalize on such an event?
Well, who's making their gear?
I would simply say,
or they've just got shitloads in where else
they've
where
got a massive stockpile sitting there.
Yes, they could.
I still don't see that.
Mm.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I mean, we've had a week where we've seen tons of trade. I mean, anybody who's in business, I think, is noticing trade shows are getting cancelled all over the place.
And everything's just... Any mass gatherings are basically getting all cancelled, aren't they? It's not long before, like, I don't know, where is it? In Italy, is it the football? And there was a game in France has been basically cancelled because of this virus concerns. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it for any mass gatherings over the next probably 6 months?
Yeah, I can see here SXSW 2020 has been cancelled. I think that's in the news today. So, so yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. Anyway, thanks, Stuart. Andy Cox sent us another question. Thank you very much, Andy. He says, evening all. So glad you could be bothered to turn up this week instead of trying to save a whale or something. Another couple of dodgy questions this week. After the last episode where Fraser revealed he's best mates with the royal family, which other famous people have you ever come into contact with? He has a second question, which we'll get on to.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, Andy, but we're me and Dave, we've met Fraser. only over the internet, obviously. Well, actually, to be fair, I met
Fraser. Yeah,
as it gets.
You're completely dismissing the fact that I went to the pub with you. But don't worry about it. Yeah, no, I don't count.
But you've got all your best mates with the royals.
Yeah.
You've met Prince Charles's butler, dude.
I've met Prince Charles's butler, yeah.
I have got one.
Go on, then.
The most famous person I have ever come into contact with. Pretty sure. Oh, I've got a couple, actually, to be fair. And as you know, I work in a supermarket in Leighton Buzzard. Got a couple of famous local residents.
Ooh.
Alistair Cook, England cricket captain. He's local.
Okay.
I've seen him, not spoke to him. However, Frank Bruno lives local.
Nice.
Asked me where the jam was, boss. In Tesco's. So I was brilliant. Like, as I stood next to him, me, 5'6", him fucking about 8 foot tall, it seems, when I stood next to him, I was like, fucking hell, he's huge. I was like, it's just down here, mate. Follow me. So I showed him where the jam was in Tesco's.
Good work, Neil.
And I played football. When I was playing my football with six aside at one of the local pitches against Darren Goff. Shook his hand at the end of the football.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you've reminded me, actually, of a couple there. I played football against... Was it Graham Pole who was head of the English FA?
He was the referee.
Not Graham Pole. Not there. There was another guy. I can't remember who it was. Graham somebody, I think his name was.
Oh,
white hair. And he was, yeah, anyway, we played against him. I also played football against Gareth Gates. You remember the guy, Gareth Gates? He was... I can't even remember what he was famous for.
It was, it was him and Will Young, wasn't it? What was it? Pop Idol.
Yeah, that's something like Pop Idol. God, that's going back a bit now. I met Bernie Winters and Schnorbitz.
Nice.
we've got another famous
resident. You know who Rusty Goff is?
No.
Sounds like a porn name.
he's like a dwarf guy, and he's been in loads of films. He was in Jesus Christ, Time Bandits. He's been in Star Wars and all sorts of stuff.
Okay,
but yeah, he's quite sort of famous. But yeah, he comes shopping at Tesco. So speak to him a bit.
Graham Kelly.
Oh, does he have a beard and glasses?
Oh, he had glasses, yeah.
Did he look a bit like, what's his name? The IRA dude. Sinn Féin, sorry, not the IRA.
No. And I was also in a pub. Damon Hill came into the pub when I was in the pub once.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah. That's right. Sorry, I got one more. One more, and then we'll go into Dave's.
Go on.
I was at the pub with Sasha. A friend of mine was friends with Sasha, the DJ, so we sat and had a pint with him.
Wow.
There you go.
None of them as famous as
Dave. Blow us out of the water about who your uncle is famous or something.
Hang on, is it Zoe Ball or is it the other one? Oh, bloody hell,
Johnny Ball.
No, the radio used to be a Radio 1 presenter. I think they're Radio Sarah 2 Cox. Now. Could be, no, Joe Wiley. That's it.
Joe Wiley. Right.
Joe Wiley bought the house that my parents.
In fact,
were
to be
buy.
Fair, anyone on Radio 2 now basically used to be on Radio 1. Yeah.
No, Joe Wiley bought the house that my parents were going to buy, which isn't too far away from where they
did
live.
Did she gazump them?
She did gazump them. She outbid them as the thing was going through.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
I always thought she was nice.
And I met her in the local pub. I think it was a thing. Like, I think the pub had got redone because she lived close by. Like, they'd done an
opening. She was like reopening the pub, like a celebrity opening.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And Debbie Harry, I think her name was.
Blondie Debbie Harry, as in Blondie.
Yeah, Blondie. Yeah. So I was in Buddy's. Diner on the A45 near the M1.
You're sounding very Alan Partridge-like now.
And I asked the people behind me for the mustard. And my father-in-law lost his shit because it was Debbie Harry who I asked for the mustard. Yeah.
So, excuse me, could you pass the mustard? And you just like, completely oblivious.
And it's like, do you know who that is? No idea.
You just asked her for the mustard. Like it was nothing.
So apparently she was a big thing in like.
Oh, she was pretty big thing.
Right, like a pin-up. Apparently he had
yeah.
a.
She was a huge Debbie Harry man for sure. Yeah, right. Definitely. She's an icon. Yeah, nice right. work. Ask her for the mustard.
And that, yeah, that,
all
that's
right.
it.
All right, there, Debbie. Now the mustard. No,
I mean. I did have, I had lunch next to Rick Mayall. He was on the table next to us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you earwig any of his conversation?
No, but he was having lunch with the girl, the lady who played his wife in. What's the one where he's the minister, the MP?
Yes, minister.
Oh, Alan Bastard.
Oh, Alan Bastard, yeah.
What's his name? What was it?
Anyway.
What was that fucking called? Damn.
I don't know. Can't remember. Anyway, I'm sure that this could go on for hours.
All the next 2 minutes, and that would be like, no, can't remember anyone else.
Okay, let's go on to some video games.
Do we have to?
No, not necessarily.
Can I go for a wee?
Sure, yeah. Well, look, why don't you go? Yeah, do you want me to just crack on? I can crack on with a couple of here that I've got here.
I really busted for a wee as well.
All right, let's take a wee break. All right, we're all back. I remembered one more, actually, and I don't know whether Dave would know this, but I reckon Neil might. Remember Neighbours? Remember Shane from Neighbours?
I know Neighbours.
Has there been more than one Shane?
Shane, he went out with Daphne.
Daphne?
I recognise the names, but I can't pick them.
Shane? Wasn't it Kylie? Who was fucking, what's the name, Kylie?
Jason was next to, was going
out. Oh, yeah. Who was Jason then?
Jason was Jason Donovan.
Yeah, but I know who. What was his character though?
Jason.
Was it?
Yeah, I think his name That's was Jason. Yeah.
Is he? Do you have to play Jason in everything because he's not good enough an actor to?
Jason. Anyway, I had dinner next to Shane from Neighbours.
I bet you don't know. You don't know his actual name.
I can't remember. All right, let's
Peter
move on
O'Brien.
To what is it? Peter O'Brien.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, Dave knows more than I
No, Google.
And I did talk to him, actually. I asked him to take a picture of me and my girlfriend when we were set, when we were at the table.
Not with him. No.
No. Okay, let's move on to what we've been playing. Neil and I dipped our toe. We didn't talk about this before. I don't.
No, we're not.
No, I checked back and we didn't. So we dipped our toe into Wolfenstein Youngblood.
I assumed you'd been slotting it out with somebody else when you put it.
No, I haven't. No, because having played it with you and realized it was so bad.
Well, I don't remember having a conversation about it, but
maybe we did. Did we? If we're repeating ourselves, I'm not going to give it too much trouble anyway. I just thought it was janky, as you like, and wasn't very good. And it just.
I don't know if that
doesn't work.
The transatlantic connection maybe was not helping.
I don't. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But you know what? I just think Wolfenstein, Doom. I'm sure there's some others in there. As single player games, they're finely crafted and do exactly what they're supposed to do. When you try and shoehorn like a two player game into it, I think it just broke it, right? It just didn't work. There was no balance there.
It was odd because you could basically, if you were smart about it, you could basically just never die, could you? Because you just keep boosting each other and.
Yeah, it just wasn't.
You'd always have loads of health and it was a bit odd.
It took us ages before we died, right? And it just didn't and seem like that. It was well crafted and balanced and whatever. And then and from that thing, it makes you appreciate something like Halo that has a great multiplayer campaign, right? That's with really clever AI and well crafted. And it's well crafted levels, right? You know, and it was just
Are you fancying some Halo then?
Yeah, I am actually.
So we Game Pass bros.
Yeah, at some point.
We could do some legendary Halo original.
Yeah, that's well worth doing. You gotta do it on legendary. It's gotta be a challenge.
Can you have four players? Can you have four players?
Some of them you can. I think we'd have to check that. I can't remember which ones. Reach is four, I think, isn't it?
I don't know. That came later, so it may well be.
Okay, Snooker 19 is... Okay, first of all, Children of Morta, I heard that was really good. I've tried twice to play that game, and it's boring as light. I just can't get into it. I don't know what's going on. So
I don't know. I like it.
Okay. I may go back to it.
It's not your type of game. It's too much story.
Yeah, and Snooker 19 is going to be a long, slow burn. Snooker 19. I have to be in the mood to play that game. I played a couple of games the other day. I was doing all right, and then the computer just completely caned me again. I'm dying to play someone else. Mike, if you're listening, it's sooner or later we have to play. Neil, you can play. It does allow me to invite you to play with me, even if you don't own the game. It has that. It has that facility.
Oh, is that remote play thing?
Yes. Here's the thing. I don't think that's the way to do it because
probably not.
We should try it. Actually, we should try it, but I think you need to go away and learn to play it before you play someone else. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Or you're just not very good.
I'm not very good. So, but anyway, I continue onwards and upwards to Snooker 19. I'm really, really at some point got to beat this Liam Highfield guy or whatever. He keeps beating me. I really just want to get some DLC that allows me to smash him over the head with my pool cue. All right, I'm going to leave you guys to go ahead. My pizza just arrived and I don't want to eat on Mike.
Right. You want to go first, Dave?
I'll go first. No Man's Sky. Absolutely love it again.
This has had more updates.
This has had shed loads of updates. I got the game first on PS4 and then on PC on the same day they released. And I put like 40 hours into it on the PS4. When it first came out, and then on the PC. Before it was good, and I put another probably 30, 35 on the PC, and then stopped playing. I've done all the content. I'd gone through everything.
Got
to the center of the universe.
Make to the galaxy.
Yep, done all that, and then stopped playing. It was like, okay, right, well, don't really want to start again and do everything all over again. So stopped playing, and I've just like. Not touched it And I heard there was some updates going and some base building and a few bits and bobs. And there was another large update came out last week, which was basically around living ships.
I did see this.
And I thought, oh, that looks quite interesting. I'll download it and boot it up. And I'll go back to my old save and I'll have a look. Went back to my old save. I was like, I've got no idea what I'm doing. Well, I'll start a new one. Like, I just got plonked down as like nothing was the same. None of the elements or the same, like anything to do with anything was the same and how to progress, move between star systems. So like, oh, okay, I'll start again. And I just, yeah. So they've put in multiplayer, they've put in bases, the frigates, the random space encounters, they've changed a lot of the elements. You do now do refining. So before there wasn't any refining, you were like literally just picking up materials off the ground and sticking them into your starship and then really going off into a different solar system, stuff like that. Whereas now there's, you have to have a base in, or you have to have a mobile base, a frigate, to refine a lot of the materials to create them into different things, usable materials. But there's also, obviously, there's sort of lots of different ships, there's lots of different upgrades for the ships. There's a whole multiplayer thing where they actually do group people together to go on like expeditions of, you know, scan like everything you can in a time frame on a planet with four other people. And there's big community things where you've got to sort of create so many of a specific resource and cash that in. And then I haven't even got to these living ships or anything, but it's like,
these new ships, or like, do you have to?
What's that? Sorry,
the new living ships, are they like everywhere, or do you just have to?
No, so the living ships themselves is, but you have to go down a series of quests to get a seed, and then you grow the seed in your base, and then that creates a living ship, and all these living ships are slightly different. Like different colors, different textures on them. They might grow into different classes. So at the moment, you've got four different classes. You've got a fighter, shuttle, hauler, and a transport. And they're slightly different, slightly longer, fatter, got different slots in, different technology slots and cargo slots and things like that. And handle and speed are slightly different as well.
Can you build equivalents to all of those then?
So the specific thing about living ships is that the things that you've got to do to upgrade them, so put in more slots or create warp drives or weapon slots or things like that is fundamentally different to how you would normally do with a normal ship. And you go down big quests and you've got to do base building. You've got to like get so many resources from different types of planets to build all that and upgrade it and install it. So I think that's the big thing that people are working towards, is just sort of doing as much of that as possible. Whereas I've put, I don't know, 12 hours in the last couple of weeks, and I'm still sort of coming, like, because I've started a new game, I haven't even reached the center of the galaxy yet again. So I'm still learning about all these new things. Like with the, I think the frigate update, which is basically a mobile base, was quite an early update, but I never played it. So, but with the frigates is that you send them off like to do separate missions themselves. So you've got to make sure they've got enough fuel to go and do the thing. But they do a mission in real time. So if a mission is, for example, 12 hours, it says it's 12 hours. It's not 12 in-game hours, it's 12 real hours. Oh, so you could literally just switch it off, game off, come back 12 hours later, and it's done its mission, but it comes back with lots of different resources. But you can have lots of different frigates. So you can send them off and do them were off at different times.
So you don't have to be present on the each frigate then?
No, no. So the way I think of it is, I don't know if you ever played Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Yeah, I was literally... Oh, right, okay, go on.
Yeah, where you'd send off your assassininos to do missions and basically they would go and do them and come back and bring you resources. And it's basically, as long as you set them up right, you don't put them into a too difficult mission, because the missions are ranked from 1 to 5, and the frigates that you've got gives you an indication of what they can do and how good they can do it. They'll come back with resources, and the resources are really good. But every time you do one of them, it upgrades their experience as well. So I'm kind of getting into that a little bit, as well as exploring. And there's a way of manipulating the markets between the different systems. And the way you do that is that you go and you sell a shed load of, you know, for example, wiring loom, which is like something that you can only buy from space stations. You sell a shed load to it, crash the price, buy it all back and a little bit more that they've got for vastly reduced, and then you go to the next system and do that. And you do that quite a lot. And then what I didn't realize until a few hours ago is that you can now warp between space stations and systems from you don't actually have to travel in your ship to all these different things. So
it's like fast travel.
Yeah, there's a fast travel between them. And I just realized, oh God, I could have saved like hours doing that. But and they've also put in stargates, which I found as well yesterday. But you have to go down, or you have to find the glyphs. Do you remember Stargate?
Oh, I didn't really watch that.
Well, in Stargate, basically, you have a ring which have all the different symbols, and each planet has a separate combination of symbols they plug in to get to different Stargates. And that is now in No Man's Sky as well. So a lot of people have created their own content. They've created farms for specific resources, or
cheated.
It's not cheating. It's the building of these buildable bases. You can do like farming of specific resources. Like you can have just like massive greenhouses of a specific type of plant, or so different ones. Or you can planets also have hotspots for specific gases or specific minerals. So people have just set up these mining rigs and shared the coordinates of the planet, because every planet has a stargate, and then by the stargate they've put a little message saying, or fly south until you see my base. And it's a massive fucking base, and they're just sharing, like they're just allowing other people to go in and harvest it. So he's cheating, but it's like, shit, like all these people are like making massive bases and doing all this just to help out other people. It's really good, really inspiring. And even on Steam and Reddit, there's still lots of people active on this game. Just thinking about the amount of, because all this DLC is free. All these updates and all these changes are free. So Hello Games have like really invested in the community. I
assume that people are still buying the game. Every time it goes on sale, they must be buying it.
Yeah, my question is how are they making their money right now? Is there paid content or...
It's all free. There's no DLC.
So they must just pick up more users every time. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure how they're making money, but if they're still selling copies and, you know, going that way. And but yeah, like I I would assume that if they would do a paid DLC or something like that, it would be cosmetic. I can't see like how they, if it would do the community good if they'd done it.
Procedurally generated, so I don't know what you could charge for.
Yeah, I don't know, skins or...
Yeah, it's interesting though, because that's 3.5 years since that came out, eh? So.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you played it in VR?
I haven't played, no. I haven't was actually set up my...
It was about summer last year they got to...
Yeah. Yeah, they do have VR compatibility now, so... yeah, it, what I would say is, if you've got it and you haven't played it in a long time, boot it up and have a look. And
do you remember how much you bought it for? You paid full price when it came out.
I paid full price on...
Yeah, because yeah. I remember this was going really cheap.
It was, yeah, it has been on really cheap. Like
there was a point before they did the update, the first major update, whatever it was called, it was going for like £5 or £7.
Yeah.
And ever since then, the cheapest it's been is about £20 or something. Yeah. It's definitely gone up a notch.
Yeah. I remember on the PS4, they were selling the full price copies, and I got it on day one. And then about a month later, like, I think I remember seeing it in Tesco's for like a tenner, if that. Just because word of mouth was like, it's repetitive, it's rubbish, and it crashed. Yeah. But no, play it. Pick it up for cheap. It's good.
Well, that's a good advert, Dave. I'll give you that. I'd heard murmurings that they'd sorted it out, but I didn't really know anyone who'd gone back to it or spoken to anyone really in depth and gone back to it. So that's good.
Yeah, no, very good, very good.
You've got a second game on there. Can we come back to that at the end?
Of course.
Let Neil just run through his normal dross that he's got going on.
My dross. Right. I've played a couple of Game Pass games, but I haven't really played a lot of. I played a game called Death's Gambit, which I believe is on Xbox and PC. It's a bit 2D Dark Souls-y. So... It's but without the instant killing of the minion type enemies.
Oh, not there.
It's quite easy to kill like the standard enemy, but there's some fucking massive enemies in there that you need to kill, and like it's quite hard. And when you die, you lose all your, you drop all your stuff and all that sort of stuff. Respawn. It's very similar, like mechanically, to Dark Souls in that, but it's all 2D. It's kind of cool. But I really
not setting the world on fire with that one.
it's all right. It's all right. If you like that, you'll probably get into it and like it. I was a bit like, I'm not sure about this. Then I had a little blast of Enter the Gungeon, which I know is quite regarded. I like it. I don't see me playing a lot more of it because it's too fucking hard. So.
I keep seeing this, and I just wonder why I haven't.
If it's on Game Pass, just give it a fucking go. It's a fucking tiny download. It'll take about 10 minutes. All right. It's fun. It's fun, but it's just fucking hard. I can just see it getting stupidly hard, and me just going.
I already got a stupidly hard game in my life. I don't need another one.
Yeah, but that game's crap.
It's crap, isn't it?
I played more Beat Saber. Don't really. Everyone knows about Beat Saber, but. Still good. Got loads of new
you
tunes.
You can't call it by its proper name. In the long-standing tradition of Game Punchers, you have to call it by whatever it's been renamed to, Meat Saber.
Are we calling it Meat Saber? Though?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'll play some Meat Saber.
You have to say I've been playing.
I have to play that every few days.
I went into my bedroom and played with Meat Saber.
Which is obviously a VR game. Another VR game. I think I mentioned this before. I don't know. Well, I've been playing a bit of table tennis in VR.
I don't think you have mentioned this before. Somebody has. I think I heard about it on CAGcast.
No, you may have. It's not on CAGcast. I've heard it on Rebel FM. Someone was talking about this.
No, I don't know about that.
But I don't believe anyone on CAGcast plays VR. So you may have heard about table tennis on CAGcast. Table tennis.
Maybe you're right.
But 11 Table Tennis VR. I played, or which is probably on Steam. I don't know if it's anywhere. It's on. I bought it through Oculus because I had it, some credit or whatever. It's fucking really like playing table tennis. It's fucking quite crazy. I've learned now, like when I don't know. Do you play any table tennis?
No.
You know all the rules and that?
Well, I've played table tennis before. But...
yeah. You got to get to 11 points to win the game, which is why the game's called 11 table tennis. But basically, when you serve, like you have to be behind the table when you hit the ball. And it's got to bounce your side and then bounce their side. Like, and I used to literally just like, and the mechanic was in my left hand, because I'm a right-handed batter, you'd squeeze the finger trigger to like have the ball appear on the end of your hand. And I would literally like let it go and hit it immediately. I'd easily do a good serve. But now what the computer opponent's doing is like tossing the ball up in the air and then like doing backspins and all sorts of stuff. So I've now like advanced to the stage where I am like pulling the trigger to hold the ball, flicking my hand up, let go of the trigger, and watch the ball fly up in the air and wait for it to come down and then hit the ball. So I'm like, it's just like, I am actually feeling like I'm playing table tennis. It's mental. I'm still shit at it, though. I'm sure I've spoke about this before.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I'm still shit at table tennis. But I've moved up from like amateur to pro to try and improve. I played a little bit of pro. And when you get a rally going, it's fucking... tink, 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 it's going really fast. backhand, forehand. And when you like, when they like do a little like flop shot and it bounces up nice and high, and you like absolutely spank one and they completely miss it. You're like, yes, I've got 1 point to your 12.
Sounds like my snooker.
Yeah, occasionally I'll have a really great moment, but I'll usually just like, oh, fuck it, I've messed the serve up there. I've completely missed the, not returned their serve, and they like get absolutely whooped every game pretty much. And then I'll get like a notification like, so-and-so wants to play with you. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm ready to play a real person just yet. Like,
don't bottle
I'm
it,
still
dude.
Getting destroyed by the computer. So, but yeah, it's fucking so close to actually playing table tennis without playing table tennis. It's crazy. So if you do have VR, definitely recommend having a look. Right then, I clocked a game today, which is called Walking Simulator.
No,
2020. Have you not seen it? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. No.
It's Death Stranding, but it's not Death Stranding. You're a guy. You have to pick up stuff and pick and deliver it somewhere. It's like the shittiest version of it. It was like 2.5 gigabytes download.
9 out of 10 on Steam.
It's got some brilliant reviews if you read some of the reviews on Steam.
It's free to play. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's free to play.
Somebody called it Death Stranding 2 Electric Boogaloo.
There's some brilliant reviews on that. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to download. And I've just got to pick up a suitcase, run like 2 miles to a place, deliver it, pick up something else, deliver it 2 miles to somewhere else. And if I've got enough likes, I can buy a skidoo. So I got my skidoo and I scooted around in my skidoo. Then I got a jetpack. So I got to the top of the mountain with my jetpack. And then when you get to the top of the mountain, it's just like, you've basically played the whole game. You can leave now.
Nice. I like this review.
But there's still other stuff to do. You could carry on playing it. Oh, God knows how much shit there is to do in that game. But they've actually made a proper game, apparently.
This one review says, this may be the greatest single game ever made. It takes an idea from Dead Strand and expands it into a beautiful art. This is a must play for anyone that loves Kojumba and his games.
The reviews are by far the best thing about the game, as far as I'm concerned. But if you haven't got a PlayStation 4, you've got a PC, might as well have a look. And then one more game I've played, which Dave has also played, Maybe. Hmm. I don't know how much you've played of it.
Well, he's not playing much more of it, is he?
Apparently not. The traitor.
18 minutes. That's how much I've played.
Wow. Did you do the training?
Yes.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about a game I've heard quite a lot of buzz about called Hunt Showdown.
Yeah, now this is interesting because I'm 50-50 on this. So I'm very interested to try it. I'm very uninterested to drop coin on it.
Yeah.
Because I figure it's going to go the way of so many other games. I'm going to buy it and I'm not going to play it. So
I think it's definitely, the problem is Dave's now refunded it. So we can't even join up to have a go.
Dave!
There's a different game mode when you play. Well, you can play it solo, but I'm not playing a game solo where I'm playing potentially against teams of two or three in a game I'm already a bit shit at.
What's the point of the game?
There's two modes once you've passed the training. There's like a mini battle royale, which has 12 solo players joining, which is the only mode I've played after the training. So it's based in the bayou. Like, it's all swampy and like Wild West style age, 1890s it's set. So you've got crap guns, some sawn off shotguns and stuff like that, and then there's some sort of long range rifles. And there's a load of melee weapons you can pick up. There's traps. You can pick up like bear traps. You can throw like lanterns at people. They'll be on fire. And like the thing with this is there's like zombie type things walking around of various types. Some easy to hit. Like you can pick up a sledgehammer. It's like just come at you. You get near and they go, they come run. Clobber them over the head and they're dead one hit. And then there's like weird malformed zombie type things which take a few hits with a gun or a melee weapon to knock down. And then there's things with like a swarm of shit that comes flying at you until you kill whatever spawned the swarm. And then there's real people running around at the same time. So there's obviously like there's buildings. And when you go in or near some of the buildings, there's like noise traps set up everywhere. There'll be like broken glass on the floor if you walk on the broken glass. Because obviously the idea is when you play the full-on proper game is to try and be really stealthy and not notify anyone that you're around. But like there'll be chains hanging down from the ceiling. Knock into a chain, it will make loads of fucking noise and obviously let people know that you're there. It's definitely got a lot of potential to be quite good, I think, if you're two or three together. But as a solo game, I've just been shit. Fucking the Royal Battle Royale type mode that I've played was me. You have to kind of, like, another one of the mechanics is you have to collect like rifts. You go into like a what they call dark site. You press E. PC. This is all available on PlayStation and Xbox, as far as I know, as well. And you'll go into like this is what they call dark sight, so you can't really see anything that's around you, but you'll see like a place where you need to get to. Once someone has gained like enough of these rift things, there'll be lightning shooting down in this rift mode, this dark sight mode. So that's where they are. You can't see exactly where they are. You can get to them and kill them, basically. But every game I've played so far, I've been like running around away from zombies, killed a few zombies, maybe get a rift or two. And then you can hear the gunshots going off. That's obviously over this way, I can fucking hear, but I don't have no fucking idea how far away it is. And the first game I got into, got down to the last two, and I was like, I don't know where this guy is. I saw someone run past the building. Then I haven't got a fucking clue. But all I can hear in my headset is like these fucking zombies going underneath me where I'd got up on this ladder. And I was like, where the fuck is this guy? Where is he? His time is ticking down for him to win. The next thing I know, I'll get shot. I was like, where the fuck was that from? fucking got shot again. I was like, run away, run away. And then I got shot running away. I was like, that was really shit. Second time, I got into a gunfight with someone. I could easily see them. And I was just missed them completely. And they nailed me twice and I was dead. So, it's that PUBG, like, the guns are a bit naff if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, mate, it's made me jump the game recently. I've got to be honest. It's quite atmospherically good, but definitely needs a crew.
I'm just going to ask Dave a quick question here. Is Neil cutting out for you?
No, he's all right for me. I think.
Maybe it's just me then. I think I've got some issues here. I don't know.
Oh, well.
Sorry. Dave, wasn't for you?
No.
You didn't get as far as me, obviously.
No, I played the tutorial. I played the tutorial twice. And just went, this is not a game I'm going to play. I can see it being atmospheric, and like, I didn't even get to the point where I was playing against humans. I knew as I was playing it, it's just like, I've got a game where I'm shit at, which is PUBG, that I get hammered at, and you know,
there's no room for it, is there?
I just wasn't gonna play it. I put 20 minutes into it, I think.
18, I believe.
18, and then like, as we're talking,
put a couple of extra minutes on there.
Yeah. as I write it down, I'm like, I'm not gonna play it again. Like,
yeah, I hear you.
So I might as well just stick the money back into my Steam wallet, and
I think I could see that coming from you too, you know. And it's,
you did refund PUBG after all, initially.
Yeah, but I refunded PUBG because I couldn't.
Oh, we've had this conversation as well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, that's the Hunt Showdown done. I'm not going
to
miss
it. I've done my 2 hours, see, so I don't know what to do.
Right.
Pop the request in.
I kind of like it, though. I kind of want to go back and try and get better at it.
All right.
At the same time, no one else is playing it.
Yeah.
All right.
I've already realised I'm never going to get good at PUBG.
Yeah, you are. Just keep trying. Okay. What do you put? News. Neil's news section.
Neil's news.
Dave's got a first line.
Yeah, I'll put some in. Offworld Trading Company.
Yeah, I picked that up today.
Yep, free on Epic. It was really sort of pushed about 6 months ago, a year ago. Lots of people streaming it. Lots of people doing YouTube videos on it. It looks really good. It's I think it's like a top-down economic strategy game. Fact that it's free and it's on Epic, get it. Have a go. I haven't actually played it yet, but I will do at some point in the future, very, very soon, because that's the kind of games I like to play. And it's free, so fuck it, why not?
There you go, don't need to refund that.
No. And the next one I put on, I love playing RimWorld. I think I've spoken about it before. They recently released their first DLC for it, which was it Royalty?
Yeah.
RimWorld is basically Dwarf Fortress, but with better graphics, kind of graphics like Prison Architect, if you've played that.
Yeah, it's you've sold us on RimWorld before. Something that we're possibly missing out on here.
There is a lot of stuff into it, and I used to like play it. Well, I play with a lot of mods, so very massive mod community, lots of different mods, some that completely change the game, and some that just add, you know, little extras or slightly tweak the numbers. Whereas this DLC, I've heard some people saying, oh, taken from some mods. But with the number of mods, I think the last count is like over 100,000 different mods for this game. Of course, it's going to take something from some of these, but it's packaged them into an official release, which adds royal titles, so you can have a royalty and a lineage and things like that. You can have some of these pawns, which are called have psychic powers. They've massively expanded the quest system. So before it's very much a game. RimWorld was a game that you kind of made the story up as just on your own. So you sort of get attached to your pawns. You know, you have your main one you start the game with, and I know one of them loses a leg, so you add him with a peg leg, so you call him Peg Leg Joe, or you know, and you make these stories up themselves. But this DLC, it creates a quest line, where it didn't have before. It had objectives, you know, live and get to a crashed spaceship and fix it and escape the planet. But now it actually has proper quests. So constructing certain things or inviting other factions to your base and, you know, having somewhere to sleep and other factions asking for help. So you people with some guns and they're fighting off, I don't know, a herd of alpacas or something like that, or another faction. And all these sort of quests give you buffs with the factions and the ability to call in those factions. If you have a raid, if somebody's trying to attack you, you can call in these people that you've helped, which is a massive change. One of the sort of main antagonists are something called Mechanoids, and they are you had Cyphers or Centipedes, which were basically tanks with massive guns that was it's a centipede and they'll sort of bash down your walls and kill all your pawns, and they've expanded on that so they're now a faction and you can go and invade them to invade their factories to stop the production of these centipedes. And I think they've added a different type of mechanoid as well. They've got some more technology. They've expanded the in-game music, and then there's loads of other different small tweaks in them. More food, different recipes for creating food and taking raw materials and turning them guns or explosives or walls or chairs.
It's your wheelhouse, isn't it?
I love it. It's one of those really random. I can boot it up at, you know, when the missus goes to bed at 10 o'clock and I have been sat there until 5 o'clock in the morning and shit, I've got to be working like 3 hours.
Nice.
And it's just one of those, oh, just do this. I just say, oh, no, I'm just... but it's the sort of living, like the real-time strategy and the creating of your little empire and again, you create stories for these people, and you know, you get like your pawns get attached to your animals, and they create a bond. And so, you know, you don't want those animals to be killed because your pawns will be upset. And this DLC just expands on all that, like officially, without going through mods. But already there is mods being created on top of this now. So with my
like I think I had a game that was my super mod list. I have had about 50 mods. It took ages to load, but it had loads of like extras. But like probably none of those will work now. So I'll have to unsubscribe from Steam, and then there'll be some more that will be expanding on, like different beds or you know, creating hospitality. Or one of my favorite ones was something stupid like air conditioning, where you built an air conditioning unit and connected pipes between all your rooms that regulated the temperature between the rooms. Sounds stupid and little, but it saved you creating an air conditioner in each room, and it taking a lot of power, and you could do it centrally if you did it right. And yeah, it's there's all these things, and it's so deep. There's so many different levels to it. You could play it very basic. You just be a base builder and you just do it, and you have your pawns and do that. But then because you're creating stories for these people, in your own mind, you get a certain level of attachment to it.
It sounds like it could be very dangerous, but I am going to play this. You know what? I should just. Should I buy it? I have to check to see what sale price can be expected at some point. So,
yeah, it does get put on sale. Not like a huge amount, like 15-20% sometimes, maybe.
Let's go to Is There Any Deal? Search RimWorld. This makes for good radio. According to RimWorld, historical, well, current 30. Oh, doesn't go on sale much, does it? No, it doesn't.
Does it not?
It's been on sale a few times, not a huge amount.
Says here, current best.
This is the game you talked about a while back.
Yeah.
Oh, current.
Been around for like ages.
Yeah, it's $32.99. It's historical low.
$32.99. What's current, that in proper money?
$39.99. Well, what I mean,
yeah, this is Canadian money.
Yeah, it's just funny money, but it shows that it doesn't get deeply discounted.
Yeah.
These guys know they don't need to. Maybe.
No, it's one guy develop it. It's
maybe he hasn't got time to discount it. okay.
Get
well,
choice over when their games go on. If it's on Steam, is it?
Oh yeah, yeah. They have to. Steam can't just discount the game, right? They can't without.
Well, Epic seems to.
No way. Well, you can't have someone tank your product. Hey, we're gonna. Well, just, I hope you don't mind. We're just putting you on a sale for 1 cent for the next week and a half. Ain't gonna happen. No, they've got to work with the publishers on that.
Well, I think Epic have funded like their coupon shit. They're just that's from Epic. It's like I got control for like £22 or whatever.
Yeah, but there'll be some sort of recompense, won't there, for the developer of that.
Well, I say if Epic are funding and these coupons, because
Epic will be amounts for sure. Fortnite. So. Yeah, but I mean, there'll be somebody at Steam probably, you know, going to meet these developers. I'm guessing they'll be going to the developers.
Going
with a dedicated package to say, hey, here's why we think you should discount. Here's what your expected returns would be. I mean, they've got to work with each other, right, on it. It's in Steam's interest, obviously, to sell as much as they can, but yeah, that's interesting. That's a side of the business I don't think about.
Well, that's that whole No Man's Sky thing. I can't believe anyone is buying No Man's Sky at full price.
Yeah, I mean, you need to. Well, he probably milked so much out of people at the start.
Yeah, like nowadays, who's paying £40 No Man's Sky now? Like, surely.
Don't forget, though, No Man's Sky was heavily bankrolled by Sony. Right, they put their weight behind that. I mean,
so how does that work when it comes to Steam? Like, is Steam like they're not giving Sony any money?
No,
Steam.
No, but don't underestimate how big that release was. I mean, that went No Man's Sky. That was the problem with No Man's Sky, wasn't it? If he had just remained an independent developer, but instead he got the weight of Sony, like showcasing at E3 or whatever like that, and saying that, you know, it and probably. Throwing into the market. So how many did they sell? They must have sold tons. Tons, right? So of course he can afford to keep pumping out updates.
Is that before the Steam refund policy came in? I don't know.
I mean, if you've made that much bank up front, so now it's a no-brainer, right? Okay, so we know we can make the game better. We've got the capital to do it. and we're building the brand up to for something for the future as well. They're laughing all the way to the bank. Whereas if you don't sell much on that upfront, you're screwed, right? You're trying to, you're probably chasing people who will give you the money to keep developing, to make it better, or you've got to release content, you know, that might piss people off, but that costs money. Must be quite brutal. But No Man's Sky, yeah, he's laughing. He's sitting on a massive pile of money, I'm sure of it. Or is it just me? Anyway.
Who knows? Well, he does.
Okay, come on then. Let's push forward to the end here, Neil. Not that we want to hurry you along in your news that you haven't done any yet, but should we just say goodbye now?
I'm only joking,
mate. Come on, do your news.
I'm a bit drunk, so I'm missing a couple of these. Google have nicked someone else. Apparently, she was the head of, Sony Santa Monica?
Yeah, I heard about it.
They made the original God of, done something weird here, God of War games. She was in charge of the studio. They didn't just do God of War. They did some other games and stuff. So she's now working at Google with.
Damn it! All right. So Google's got their checkbook out and going post.
Yeah, they're getting some decent caliber of people working there. Hopefully, they're going to start delivering some games for these people.
Okay. Yep. Don't forget, Jade Raymond is the studio Stadia games boss.
Is it Jade Raymond at Stadia? So
Stadia's not giving up yet. Next.
No. Valve are we absolutely see Half-Life Alyx as our return to this world, not the end of it. So well, Half-Life, I guess in at some point.
What do these rules have you read and can remember? All right. Well, what are they saying?
No, so Half-Life Alyx is not the end of them coming back to the Half-Life. So maybe we'll get an episode 3 for Half-Life 2. Maybe we'll get Half-Life 3.
We ain't getting Half-Life 3.
No. You know, I think? Seems more likely than ever.
I think I'm just going to string everybody along. Do fuck all about it.
Someone was asked directly whether they're working on Half-Life. The response was, Half-Life means a lot to us. It's been incredibly rewarding to re-familiarize ourselves with characters, setting and mechanics.
Yeah, but he's not going to go, nah.
Blah, 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 blah. We absolutely see Half-Life as our return to this world. It's the end of it. So, more Half-Life games, whatever they may be. Maybe not.
There is no confirmation right now that they are doing anything with Half-Life, is there? Have we heard anything? There's nothing. Then again,
other than making a new Half-Life game?
No, well,
out in about three weeks.
Alyx isn't out yet.
No, it's out in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Oh, okay, I don't know. Did anyone know that was coming, or was it all? Did they manage to? My point is, do they manage to keep it under wraps, and could they have other Half-Life stuff that they've been?
I think we've only known about this for 3 months. Came around just before Christmas, I think, wasn't it?
Okay.
Everyone's been joking about Half-Life 3 for about the last 13 years or whatever. And this kind of came out of the blue.
Are you going to buy it?
I don't know.
You have to.
Well, it's 40 quid, though. It's like an expensive game. I might have to wait till it goes on. Right. Moving on. I don't know if you've heard about this thing called coronavirus.
No.
Well, apparently, you can play a game and attempt to help, find the cure.
Sounds awful.
This thing is called Fold It. This was released in 2008. It has other problems to solve other than coronavirus in it. So there's like an onboarding process where you solve simple problems. They've now added a new puzzle to the game based on COVID-19, which is There's no vaccine currently. It presents a unique challenge. So there's it's all to do with proteins and God knows what. So you can download this app. This program.
Dude, you're winging your way. You're winging your way through this news. I'm calling you out on this. This is awful news.
Right. Well, I ain't finished. So there's this thing where you manually try to help solve the problem. Well, you can do this whole. You remember your PS3s had that folding at home thing on?
I was going to say it reminded me of that.
Apparently there's a thing where you can just leave your PC on and it will help.
Does like it also AI mine Bitcoins? Sell the Bitcoins for research money.
Well, maybe it's that. Maybe they're just doing that and just fucking.
I tell you what, you are going to get, your PC is going to get a virus, right? If you do this.
So anyway, if you really want to try and help, there are potentially we'll fold it.
Yeah, because you know my computer is the is.
Well, there's something about the research was as much as AI can help these things, like the computing process and power, then a human perception of the problem may actually be better. Because like humans look at things differently, because it's basically a computer is only programmed by a fucking human anyway. So if you're particularly good at solving problems, puzzles, you might be able to look at something in a different way.
Does it matter if you're drunk?
Doesn't think about it. Well, probably doesn't help that you're shit-faced. Because you probably, if you did solve it, you probably wouldn't remember how the fuck you did it.
Oh, I'm going to take this coronavirus. We should take it outside and give it a scene to.
Anyway, have a look.
All right.
Properly. Well, I'm not.
What's it called again? What's it called?
If just go to Kotaku. It's on all the web fucking pages. Oh. Go on Kotaku and then PC.
It's in the notes.
But there is a link to the actual thing. It's Fold It is the thing. Fold It is the program.
Yeah.
There is another program. There's another program
soon
going
to be
on.
Called Uninstall It.
You might get further in that with than you did with Hunt Showdown.
Oh, it's funny.
Right, okay. Couple of recent-ish stories.
Cool.
You all heard of the fabled Uncharted movie that's gone through about a million directors?
Yeah, well, I don't know where we are with that right now.
Fuck knows what's going on with that, but apparently this is looking more likely. There's going to be a Last of Us TV show, which is coming to HBO. The guy who worked on Chernobyl is in charge, and the guy who wrote the games is writing the story. So, might actually fucking happen.
My cynicism straight away wants to take the piss out of it, but actually, having seen Chernobyl and how much of an impact that had on me.
Hmm.
And that sort of, even though Chernobyl wasn't, it was sort of post-apocalyptic. It felt post-apocalyptic. Just bloody Russia, mate. It's just such an odd place that I could see him doing a good job of this.
It's definitely got potential. So
yeah, for sure.
For at least one series. So
no. Well, he's got the sort of credentials, and it seems to be have the ability to create.
Well, it's certainly looking a lot more likely to actually happen. Uncharted movie, which seems to have been going on forever, fucking going nowhere.
I tell you what, the future's in television. No one's going to be going to the movies anyway. That's the problem.
Well, in the next 6 months, that's it. If I can see James Bond boned.
How long can these? Yeah. We're going to go off topic here, but how long can these big mega cinemas last? I just can't see them lasting for too long into the future. I could see us doing
without the fucking virus.
Well, yeah, just generally. One, you've got like now, just something like this is going to hit them hard, right? With people going less.
Yeah.
And does anybody really go that often anymore?
I don't know. There's the big, like the blockbusters, your Marvels, whatever. Those places are rammed for the first week or two. But I don't know how much they're.
The thing is with these places,
it's so fucking expensive, though.
Yeah, it's expensive for people to go. It's cheap for them to employ people because it's all minimum wage.
Mm.
And so what they'll do is they'll just shut the place they'll just shut these places for 6 months until all this blows over, and then they'll sort of restart opening slowly and just re-employ everybody again. What there's nothing to stop them doing that. It's labor's cheap. The thing that costs them money is renting of the facility, and the equipment itself.
For the films, if you want to show the latest Marvel film, they're going to be fucking paying God knows how much per facility that they're going to show that.
But what they'll do is
IMAX or whatever.
Yeah, they'll just shut it, and then what they'll do is they'll get rebates and whatever off the governments, or say, you know, we physically can't be here. What are you going to do? Is another cinema going to come and take over the building? No, because nobody wants to go to cinema because of all these corona problems. Is somebody going to take on the building to redevelop it into something else? No, because it's cinema. What are you going to convert into?
Ooh, never underestimate though people's ability to change a building into something else. I'm fascinated with like what places are popping up in what, like we had a big supermarket, we have a big sort of shopping place next to us, and the sort of end, it's like a small mall, and the end business is a big some sort of fashion house or whatever. And is now, they couldn't survive.
Right.
And now it's turned into a huge daycare, like massive daycares are becoming. Okay. Right. So like big, full on massive warehouses.
That's not going to fucking last now, is it? They'll all be empty.
Massive warehouses to drop your kids off, right? You know, the landscape.
No one's going to be doing that either anymore.
Right. Yeah, well, there is that, true. Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah, that could be dead before they've even started. Yeah.
So
I just drop my kids in another place where loads of other kids have no idea.
Because there's never sickness going around there.
Exactly.
Oh god, just full of them.
Super carriers.
I think a lot of this, that what will happen is places will just shut for 6 months until all this blows over, and then they'll just re-employ everybody. But
could you not see like the big businesses like this, like just not make? What about like if a cinema was to split up and become and sell off each individual screen to like smaller businesses, and you had six different vendors in there, different types of films, like one guy specialized in old like martial arts movies and stuff like that, and got his own following. But I don't know. Like, I'm just spitballing here. Like, I can't see.
Unless you start selling fucking containment suits and fucking biohazard suits with your cinema ticket.
Oh yeah, we still got that coronavirus, haven't we? Yeah, sorry, you're right. Yeah.
Unless they just sort of constructed like little rooms around like two or four seats, so you have like you go in and you get an allocated time that you've got to go in and steal yourself in this room just with a glass front. So you can...
What do you mean, like, why don't you stay at home and watch it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know, like when I went to see Jaws, going to see it in a small cinema with people who are actually interested in that movie rather than just on a night out.
Have you been to, well, I think they fucked it off now, but the Leicester Square. Have you been to Leicester Square? Odeon. Odeon?
Do you know what the last? Do you know what? Okay, here we go. Do you know what the last thing I think I saw in Leicester Square, and I can't remember whether it was the Odeon or whatever, was Color of Money, Tom Cruise and Paul Newman.
Wow, that's old.
Paul Newman. Jesus. I was going to see movies with Paul Newman in them.
You are old.
Oh, it's all that.
But I went to watch. I watched Ant-Man with my son.
Okay.
And literally, the cinema was about 20 seats.
Really?
No more than 20 seats. About five rows of four. And like, not a proper size, huge cinema. It was a good size for the room we were in. But it was literally like 20 people in there, max. And it wasn't full when we went to watch.
And they had like about
eight screens. They had loads of these little screens, and they had those fucking huge, like, sort of.
The mega big screen, right, for the
for where the premieres and everything were. But I was like, this is mental, like, it was lush, this is proper luxury, like, well nice, like, with hardly any people in there. But I think they've binned all that off now, like the small screens.
I think that's got to be the way forward if you could get people into to experiences. Just I find
it's all multiplex is what they do now with the ones in Milton Keynes is like, what is it? They're all about 10 screens.
Yeah.
And there's one that's like, they've got an IMAX at Odeon plus an iSense, whatever. I don't know if that's the same thing.
Like,
they don't do it in 3D or whatever for the iSense. I don't know. But there's some big ass screens with loads of seats, small screens with less seats in. So.
Yeah, the one in Milton Keynes I like the best is one that's next to the football stadium. That
that's the Odeon.
The Odeon. You pay a bit more. You go upstairs and
that's fucking expensive.
It's expensive. But you got a private bar. You get all your drinks. You get unlimited popcorn and Coke. You sit in big leather armchair right at the back.
And then, keeping the riffraff out, doing lines off your business. Yeah.
Yeah, glass tables in front. Yeah.
My kind of cinema.
But yeah, it was lovely. It's great with the missus.
See, that's what you want. You want a night out, but then we're just talking
experience.
Like, old men now, though. I don't want to go to a cinema where, like, if I go to see the blockbuster, fine, but going to the cinema as a night out, like, as an often thing, you want something a little bit more distinguished, don't you?
Yeah.
You want to go for a morning out? Let's go to the cinema. It's fucking empty in the mornings. It's like it's in the evenings. It's rammed.
Yeah, the evenings. Is it though? That's the point.
Well, I don't know. Like I say, at the minute, who knows what the hell's going on with these places? But
all right, no one went to see Sonic yet.
Going to see that on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Good. Dave's going to bite and take the bullet.
Have you gone to see it? Did you go see it?
No, I was threatening to go see it. I knew I a couple of times I announced proudly at the.
Yeah, I thought you said you were going to see it.
Okay. Yeah, do you know what? I do know who I never announced it to? My own children, right? Because they would have held it to me. I'm smarter than that. I've been going around town going, I'm going to see Sonic. I'm going to see Sonic. There's only two people in my town of 110,000 people that don't know. I'm going to see it. Didn't hear me say that. My son and daughter. Yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Cool.
Good. All right. You can screen it for us.
Yep. Okay.
Last thing.
What?
Last.
One more?
One more.
Oh, I
remember
that
Nintendo PlayStation thing?
Yes.
Yes.
The only one that's ever been publicly auctioned has been sold for $300,000.
That was ages ago, wasn't it?
No, it just came up on the news today.
I think it was going to be auctioned. That was the.
This is how much it's finally sold for.
And then, the sale's gone through for. Yeah.
So, made in 92, Super NES CD-ROM.
No, didn't. What's his face from the Oculus Rift buy it?
Palmer Luckey?
Yeah. I thought Palmer
Luckey. Why the fuck has this just come up on the news today?
No, I'm just saying, I'm getting confused then with. What's his name? Palmer Luckey. Purchase. I'm sure I heard him.
What was he buying? I remember him buying something. I don't know what you're talking about.
Here we go. Nintendo PlayStation. This was from. Is there a date? Why? Don't put a date on your news article. Why would you? I mean, that's not important, is it? Original story, Friday, 14th of Feb. Oculus VR founder Palmer Luckey is claiming to be the current. Oh, he was the current high bidder.
Oh, right. Well.
Okay, sorry, that makes sense then.
I don't know. It literally came up on the BBC web today.
Yeah, no, so if it was, but it might have still been on for like 2 weeks or something.
Sold.
Yeah, it was an auction.
The online bidder will end up paying $360,000, which is £276,900. The auction house's buyer's premium is added.
It says here the original owners have already turned down an offer of $1.2 million.
Well, they were idiots then, weren't they?
Yeah, right. All right.
Well, there you
go. For them. All right, well done. Okay, well, look, let's sign off there then. I think we've, for the first time, have broken the 2-hour mark. So, whoop-de-doo. Well done for episode
30. We did talk a lot of bollocks at the beginning there.
Yeah, it went good.
And the middle. And the end, yeah.
All right. Well, look, thanks for everybody who's listened to us up to episode 30 so far. We really appreciate it. You know where to find us. Until then, thank you, Dave, and thank you, Neil.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thank you.